Print.com, promo code HOLIDAY.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening around the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie. I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here, right here at KBC Studios, to be the managing partner of your life. And I'm looking across the table, and I see a gorgeous woman. Ah. You look extra beautiful today. Carrie Kasem.
Thanks. It's the filler and Botox.
It looks great.
I'm a little puffy. But it works.
It really works. Yeah. You got to give me the name of your surgeon, baby.
No surgery. Liquid facelift, baby. I'm telling you. I'm going to get you on this stuff if it's the last thing I do.
I got to tell you, Carrie, you've been really busy this week.
I have.
Look at this. Did you hear any news? You were so busy getting filler, getting things put in your face. Anything happen out of the ordinary?
Huh? What happened this week?
Nothing. Huh? You just made yourself more beautiful than ever.
Well, thank you. Now, of course, the elections this Tuesday and what's been going on this entire week. And, you know, I have to say, I read an article and I'm so glad you are the one responsible, you and Jason, for getting this man on today. The article and the blog that I read from Reggie Ham is unbelievable. Very excited about that. Very excited to talk about the elections, especially with Simon Conway. You guys have a bromance going on. I
wouldn't say that.
I would say you guys come from two opposite spectrums and you totally disagree on most things, but I think you guys love each other.
But Reggie Ham, isn't he a songwriter? What is he?
I don't even know.
Is he talking about politics for?
I did not know who he was until his article went viral. And what a beautiful article. It's the first time that I don't express, much about politics on my site, except for the bill that I have, through the United States on elder abuse. And I really try to stay bipartisan and not get into it because I want my bill to get passed.
Right.
I want it passed, and it's not about being a Republican or a Democrat or anything else. It's about helping the elderly. So I've kind of stayed off the politics a bit on my page, except I posted this article, and it's
which
fantastic.
Article? Reggie
the
Ham?
Reggie Ham article. I thought it was really well written.
If you Google Reggie's blog, and it's with one G, Reggie's blog, you'll find out a little bit about the man who wrote the winning song in American Idol in 2008, which Dave Cook sang. So that's something that you might want to check out. And we're going to talk to Reggie about his thoughts and why he became this internet sensation. I think 6 times more people read, and now probably 8 times read that blog than read and are subscribing to the New York Times.
It's
unbelievable.
It's phenomenal. And you know what? If Jason Rose is listening to this, which I think he is, our producer, I think he actually retweeted it on Gervie's Law. So, if you go to Gervie's Law or Carrie Kasem, it's retweeted there. So you can read it so you know who we're talking
and
to
this
hour.
And, of course, you're responsible for Simon Conway because you introduced him to Gervie's Law. And he is someone who has spoken to Donald Trump many times because in Iowa on WHO radio, you have to go through Simon Conway to win an election, to win the nomination. And interestingly enough, the interview that Simon did with Donald Trump a few months back is really quite a good listen because you hear Donald Trump in a very calm, rational way, which a lot of people don't know about or haven't heard, because he chose not to do that during the debates and during his tweets and during everything else.
I don't want to say that they're really great friends, but they're friends. I mean, Simon calls up Donald and says, hey, can you do this favor for me? Or, hey, can you do this show for me?
And he did one for you.
And he does, yeah.
I'm allowed to. So wait a second, Karen. Am I allowed to say that Simon
I got to talk to him.
Donald Trump, not Simon.
No, no, Donald
Conway.
Trump, because of Simon Conway. They're friends.
All right, so let's talk the truth. We want to talk today. We're not doing a political show. We're going to talk about why Donald Trump got elected. And that's what our two guests have in common. Both Simon Conway and Reggie Hamm have some really intelligent comments about why Donald Trump is the president-elect. So we're going to put to the side for a moment all of those Facebook posts from all of the friends, most of them on this side of the country, probably not so much in the middle, but the ones who we are exposed to, which is fine, it's their freedom of speech. We're going to put aside necessarily racism, bigotry, sexism, hatred, discrimination, fear-mongering, all of that stuff that is causing protests going on everywhere as we speak today, and we're going to talk about the human condition, why people voted in Donald Trump to be our next president. So before I bring Simon and Reggie on, I want to tell my story. I want to give an explanation. I don't pretend to know it all. I don't pretend to be a politician. I can't vote. I didn't vote. I'm Canadian. I'm just watching
from
afar.
You're not a felon?
I am not a felon.
That's why you didn't vote.
I am an immigrant, no? And I may be deported. My visa runs out in May of 2017.
You're married to an American. You can re-up on that.
And I have two beautiful children, 2 and 3 years old. So hopefully the American government under Donald Trump will be sympathetic to my plight and not send me back to Canada and leave poor Hudson and Harper with my beautiful wife, Nancy, here in this country. But let me tell you my story. So I'm a lawyer, of course. Everyone knows who listens to this show. Ivy League educated. I have a degree in political philosophy. I finished number one in my class from an Ivy League institution. Rhodes Scholar finalist. You know, I don't say these things on the show, but I'm saying it for a reason, because people think that I'm kind of smart.
You could have given that to me, and we could have faked it like I was just saying that and made it look like, you know, it came out naturally.
Right.
Yeah. Next time you want a little plug, I'll do it for you.
All right. Well, I'm receiving an award next month as an achievement award or something in the California legal community. So you can introduce me.
Okay, good.
So anyway, I've spent my professional career advocating for the dispossessed. I've advocated for the impoverished, the injured, the seriously injured. I've gone from hospital to hospital. I've represented blacks, Asians, Middle Easterners, Muslims, Christian Jews, gays, lesbians, transgenders, a number of transgenders, believe it or not, and mostly asexuals, because a lot of people just can't figure it out. I've represented undocumented workers. I've represented everyone. I've tried to help them, and I'm in the trenches every day of my life trying to get people to live a better life. And I will tell you, my clients have been brain damaged, have head traumas, they've lost legs, arms, noses, mouths, everything. They're blind, they can't hear. They've been a subject of terrorist attacks, which I spoke about last week, my terrorist attack victim from San Bernardino, my client. They've been severely depressed, they've had mental injuries, they've been addicted to pain medications. And I will tell you what happened to me in 2010 when I had dinner with Jerry Brown, the Democratic governor of the state of California. I sat with Jerry face to face, looked him eye in the eye, and he said to me, Alan, I promise you I will take care of your people, the people in this country who are injured through no fault of their own, who don't have a way to make a living, who are from all different countries, some undocumented workers, I will take care of them. Whatever commissioners you think are appropriate, I will make sure that they have a great chance of being appointed. I will not deny benefits. I will not deny treatment. I will make sure that people get a fair chance. And I said, sounds great. What has happened since Jerry Brown, the Democrat, was elected? And of course, I supported him. We gave money. My California Applicant Attorneys Association, we all supported him. And the first thing he did was he totally took away the rights of injured workers.
That's right.
He denied benefits. An injured worker cannot get treatment today. And who is profiting? The insurance companies and the big employers.
The people that put him in office. And that's who he's going to listen to. Not people like you who are telling true stories and talking about these people who are whose lives have been ruined.
Right, exactly. And I will tell you something that we are paying for the injured workers. The insurance companies are getting fatter and fatter. Their profits are growing. They're getting richer and richer. And the social services are paying. Social Security, Medicare, because there is a way to deny treatment benefits and to deny benefits for people who are seriously injured on the job. So what does that mean to this election? I will tell you that I, as an educated person, I still am human. And the way that the way that Jerry Brown and the Democrats who passed this this law, they just put it back in my face. They snubbed me. They made me feel stupid. And yes, I'm smart. And yes, I realize that the Democrats are supposed to help me. But if they're not helping me and my people that I see every day of my life across the board, then what am I supposed to do? I'll vote for anyone. I don't care who it is. I will vote for change. I will not let someone snub me. And that's the human condition. That's the human condition, because we think about how people treat us and what we're getting in life more than some, you know, intellectual theory about someone who, you know, is racist or sexist or whatever. That's my story, Carrie.
So you're saying that I'm just now talking about the election and not Jerry Brown as in California, but as the nation. Do you think people are sick of being promised things? You think people are sick of being told this is going to get better, everything's going to change, healthcare is going to get better, the education system's going to get better, and we have watched it. I mean, the best sign I saw was Obamacare. It works when you don't. And I can't tell you, my insurance now, it was 300 and something a few years ago, went to 480, then five. It's $600.
All right.
I don't know what to do.
There's a new president. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, and I'm happy for
that. We have to take a quick break, but we have Reggie Hamm and Simon Conway chomping at the bit. We are going to give them the microphone after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Take a trip down the aisle you'll never forget at Mamma Mia, Broadway's smash hit musical based on the songs of ABBA. Everyone's having the time of their lives at this guaranteed get happy hit about a mother, her daughter, and three possible dads. How can you resist?
Coming to Sagerstrom Center for the Arts November 22nd. Visit scfta.org.
Discover the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Irving Berlin's White Christmas. The timeless movie is now live on stage, featuring a flurry of Berlin's greatest songs. From White Christmas to Blue Skies, it's a merry and bright new musical for the whole family. Give everyone the gift they've been dreaming of. Irving Berlin's White Christmas.
At the Hollywood Pantages Theater, November 29th through December 4th only. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-860-6565. That's 1-800-860-6565. 1-800-860-6565. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
What was that?
I don't know. We couldn't hear anything, but hopefully the song has been playing.
Dave Cook, Reggie Hamm, he wrote it.
So good.
This is the time. This is the time of your life. Let's hope it's the time of all of our lives. Let's hope for better things. All right, this is Gervey's Law. I'm Alan Gervey. We are going to welcome to the show right now Mr. Simon Conway from WHO Radio, who has said so much over the last 8 months. In fact, he predicted this Donald Trump victory, and he's going to tell us why right now. Hey, Simon.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Simon.
How you doing?
Really great. I'm so glad you're on the show. Such an appropriate guest. So perfect.
Very pleased to be here, and don't worry, Alan. I think you're probably very low priority to remove from the
extradite.
That's funny. All right, Simon. I've been waiting. You texted me as soon as Donald Trump won, and you said the commentators around the country missed it. It was clear to you. Now I want to give you the time and the air to explain to the country. What happened?
Well, in a lot of ways, it wasn't Donald Trump that was elected. And I want to go back to what you were just saying about all the people, all the injured people that you've helped. And you called some of them undocumented workers, which I would call illegal aliens. And it's really relevant because there's one group of people you left off that list, and those are our veterans. And while we're giving money to illegal aliens, we have veterans who are being denied treatment and are then killing themselves in unbelievably horrific numbers. And it's that kind of thing. Because in a lot of ways, you see, Donald Trump was not elected. What happened was it was a rejection of what has been going on for years, what you described with Jerry Brown, what happens in Congress. They show up at our doorsteps. Elect me, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and then they go up there to Washington, D.C., and nothing happens, nothing changes. And it was a rejection of that more than an election of Donald Trump, because here is someone completely from the outside who cannot be bought. Cannot be bought. I mean, you know, for most of us, moving into the White House would be an upgrade. It's not going to be an upgrade for Donald Trump. I mean, it is in terms of the honor.
Sure.
But I'm wondering what was going through Melania's mind when she was being shown around the residence by Michelle Obama the other day.
You know, Simon, you talk about the veterans.
It certainly isn't an upgrade.
No.
And I know you do a lot of great work for the veterans, but let's face it, they are still a rather small percentage of the voters. Tell us how your theory applies to middle America.
Wait a minute. First of all, there's 23 million veterans. Okay, so I'm not saying it was veterans that voted for Donald Trump, 23 million of them, and that's what put him in office. What I'm saying is there's an awful lot of us out here who are sick of the appalling treatment that our veterans get. Sick of it.
I understand
because
that.
Because these people put their lives on the line for us.
Simon, you're talking about the human condition. Again, you're talking about feeling slapped in the face. Tell us how middle America, you're in Iowa, tell us how middle America felt slapped in the face. Forget about being a veteran. I'm with you here, but I want you to extrapolate on that with respect to the lunch pale gang, the people who go up and down their wing, as a hockey example. They're just going every day trying to make a living, trying to make ends meet. They don't have any savings. They don't have an opportunity to buy the things that they see advertised on social media. Tell us how your theory impacts those people, how they felt slapped in the face.
Well, some of it is really very simplistic. You know, we just heard Carrie talk about her insurance premium under Obamacare, $600,
mm-hmm.
and that's just for Carrie, right? A family of four staring at $1,700 a month and a $10,000, $10,000.
They have to pay that first.
Yeah.
Deductible,
yes.
Deductible, thank you very much, I apologize. You know, they can't do it. They literally cannot do it. There are families here that are looking at each other and they're saying, well, we've got to cover the kids and maybe we'll take it in turns for mom and dad. You know, we'll cover you this year, we'll cover me next year, or, you know, mom's got cancer, we won't cover dad.
Right.
They're having to make these decisions. There are people taking out second mortgages.
And third.
To cover their health care.
Absolutely.
And because Obamacare is an absolute disaster. Everybody knows it. Nobody wanted it. Go back to the time it was being forced through, because it was forced through, and you look at all the polling. All the polling was,
you know,
nobody wanted it.
Interestingly, Simon, a lot of people talk about Obamacare. I am someone who has firsthand experience, because my clients, and there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them who have no medical insurance. They are out of work now because they can't return to work because of their injuries. And the fact is, I was telling, once Obamacare passed, I said, you can get Obamacare. You can get Obamacare. This is wonderful. You're not eligible for Social Security disability because that you were denied. You're not old enough for a Medicare through Social Security. So you get Obamacare. And gradually, as time passed, it became it was not an option for them. It was too costly, and there weren't doctors who would accept it because they were all pissed off about how the administration of Obamacare was. I want to bring Reggie Hamm in here now. Reggie, now, first of all, welcome to Gervie's Law, Reggie. Nice to have you on air.
Great to be here.
It's great.
Alan, I gotta clear something up first.
Yeah.
You said you were gonna bring Reggie Hamm on for some intelligent commentary. I think I may be on the wrong show. I'm not sure.
No. Yeah.
Or you may have the wrong guy.
No.
As long as you're the guy that wrote that wonderful blog about, you know, Trump and that went viral, then we have the right guy.
So we have to ask you, Reggie, we have the right guy, and you've done some wonderful, wonderful songwriting for a lot of very great songs, famous people. But here you are in the middle of the election, and you've had this thing. Reggie's blog is a great blog, by the way, but did you ever have any idea that your entry on the blog would go viral the way it has after the election?
Well, of course, no idea. I mean, I blog every week, and I've got very faithful followers and fans, and, you know, I've got several thousand people who read, and so I'm used to getting comments, I'm used to getting retweets, all that stuff. It's not uncommon, but this particular one, and I'll be honest with you, when I wrote it, I was very sleepy. I had stayed up most of the night watching the election, and I had friends private messaging me going, hey, what are you going to say about the election, this and that. I was headed out to a meeting. I sat down on my computer, and I literally whipped it off in, I don't know, you know, an hour maybe.
And wow.
Just thought about it, posted it, and when I came back to it, it was like, I see what I think I'm saying is like a million people have read this, and then it just ticked up and ticked up, and at last count, I think we're at 9.3 or something like that.
9.3 million?
Yeah.
Okay, can I say, I just want to read this.
That's
one,
almost, yeah. That's half as many veterans as we have in the country.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, let me read this.
Simon.
This is what this is a great article, and you can find it. If you look up Reggie Hamm, R-E-G-I-E-H-A-M-M, Reggie Hamm, Donald Trump, you'll find it. It's also on Gervie's Law on Twitter and Carrie Kasem on Twitter. Here, this is one little paragraph you have here. You say, what I don't believe is that we're about to turn into Nazi Germany. And I've read some posts from people who actually believe that. I don't think we're going to roll back to the 1950s in our social order. If Donald Trump is anything, He's as immersed in pop culture as Miley Cyrus. And you go on to say that he's not after the gays. He's not after transgender. On the contrary, when Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Bruce Jenner, asked him where she could use the restroom in his hotel, his answer was, use whichever one you feel comfortable in. That's just part of the article. And I think you summed this up so well.
Reggie, tell us us about it, because people haven't all read it. They want to hear. Tell us the gist of it. How do you give a synopsis of that article?
Well, I think you have to sort of distance yourself from all of the hype and from being immersed in, you know, all this election has been just so. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, in terms of just the emotions, the passions. I will tell you that I am too. I've got a book out that chronicles my family's journey through a healthcare odyssey. I've got a special needs daughter, with a severe disability, and the song "Time of My Life" was the culmination of a lot of years of searching for her diagnosis, and I wrote the song based on her and my son, and that song went on to my daughter's from China. And when I was in China, we got hats that said 2008 Beijing Olympic Games, and we were going to bring her back to the Games. We could not, obviously. She can't travel. She's not that kind of distance. She's missing a chromosome. She has something called Angelman syndrome. But they closed the opening ceremonies of the Beijing Olympic Games to the song that you played, "Found My Life." It's a great story, but woven in that story is a healthcare odyssey. My daughter was uninsurable. She was pre-existing condition. So my wife worked at Starbucks 20 hours a week to provide health care for my daughter. When they were trying to pass Obamacare, some people came to us, and at that point the song was a hit, and my family was somewhat, we had some notoriety, and they found out about our situation, and they kind of offered us, you know, this opportunity to be, you know, sort of the poster family for Obamacare.
With a pre-existing condition.
Exactly. You guys are exactly who we're passing this for. And we said, okay, well, can we look at the law? So my manager and I sat down, and we were reading through it, and the guy who brought it to us, it was paragraph 16A. It was very complicated. We couldn't make heads or tails of it. It had something to do with was being self-employed and this and that. And so we asked him about 16A. What does this mean? Can you explain this to us? And he got really irate. He said, you guys have been listening to too much Rush Limbaugh. And we just looked at each other, and we were like, what are you talking about? We have a legitimate question about this law. It seems very convoluted. It seems very complicated. I can't make heads or tails of it. I can't make any sense of it. And we sort of bowed out gracefully and said, we hope it works. It doesn't look like to us that it will, but we hope it does. Now, as it stands now, the law, it took 4 years to implement.
Right.
I have on my computer a 27-page bill written by Marsha Blackburn, my representative in Tennessee. It's 27 pages. It would have fixed everything in health care that was our problem. It would have fixed it in 2 weeks and 27 pages.
And we have to take a quick break, Reggie. It's a great story, and hopefully it's going to have a very good ending. I have to tell you, I hope some of the protesters stop for a few minutes and listen to the news, because Donald Trump has said that there are a couple of points in Obamacare that he wants to maintain, and one of them is with pre-existing conditions. For my clients who are largely uninsurable after catastrophic injuries, that is an amazing point that Donald Trump understands. We have to take a break. We're talking to Simon Conway and Reggie Hamm. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This holiday season, Guitar Center is your best gift ever center, with deals like a Schecter Demon 6 guitar for just $349, a pair of AKG K52 headphones for $29, or Ernie Ball strings, your choice, 3 packs for $10. Save up to 25% on gear in every department, and make spirits bright for every musician on your list.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year!
Guitar Center's holiday kickoff, going on now, in-store and online.
Your source for breaking news. Live and local. KABC.
What makes a holiday card unforgettable? personality. And no one makes it easier or more affordable to create a holiday card full of personality than Vistaprint. Right now, get 50% off all custom holiday cards. That means 30 cards start at just $13.99. With hundreds of stunning designs, your personality will shine through with every card you send. Just go to Vistaprint.com today and enter the promo code HOLIDAY to get 30 holiday cards starting at $13.99. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code HOLIDAY.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
You're listening to Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I've been waiting for my dreams to turn into something I could believe in.
Yeah, amazing song. I'll tell you, we had so many people texting us during the break. Tears in people's eyes listening to Reggie's story about his daughter. Wow. You know, and now people really understand why it is so important that so many issues in the government are real and how people need them to work, not just the rhetoric. And that's what we're hearing a lot about now. Simon Conway from WHO Radio, you did an incredible interview with Donald Trump. I think it was in July. He sounded so calm. Obviously, it wasn't Hillary Clinton who he was speaking to. But how do you get him to talk so diplomatically, so presidential, when the rest of us are seeing him in debates and seeing him tweeting things that we really don't want him to be saying or speaking?
It's kind of, I mean, he said that to, you know, the pre-existing conditions thing. He said with me some substantial time ago. I've actually interviewed him 16 times, including on election morning. This is not new. I mean, I know it's being reported as new, but it's not actually new. He said that to me from the very beginning. You know, we do have to repeal and replace Obamacare, but we do have to maintain the pre-existing conditions part that is there, which is absolutely right. That's exactly the right thing to do. So this is not new stuff. It's just being reported as new stuff. In terms of the tweeting from, you know, in the middle of the night, Donald Trump is the supreme marketeer. I mean, just calculate how much free advertising he got.
Yeah, a lot.
Right? Free reporting. It's just incredible the amount that he was able to generate. And, you know, he had his spat with Ted Cruz as an example, and Ted Cruz's dad, and all the rest of it. And as soon as he beat Ted Cruz, he came out and said very nice things about Ted Cruz, exactly as he did about Hillary Clinton. He's a supreme marketeer.
And I think
it shouldn't be shocking to anyone. I don't know why it is.
You know, it's so funny because in Reggie's blog entry, he talks about just things being, you know, like everyone getting a hold of themselves. You know, it's funny because I worked for a boss for a lengthy period of time who was just like Donald Trump. And he said that he was a lawyer. He was a tough lawyer. He was bombastic. He said obnoxious things. He drank too much, and he said things he shouldn't have. But in the end, he was a very successful lawyer. He wasn't put in jail, although, you know, people said he maybe he should have for one thing or another. People didn't like him because he said what was on his mind, and he didn't say it artfully. But does that make someone necessarily a person that we should impeach without giving him a chance? And that's what,
well,
you know, go ahead.
I read Reg's blog as well, which was, you know, is excellent. I agree with him. We're not about to become Nazi Germany. In fact, I hate all the Hitler references on both sides, because there were some from the right suggesting Hillary Clinton would turn us into Nazi Germany as well. Apart from anything else, I'm a Jew, and it's an insult to all the actual victims
right.
of Nazi
That's
Germany.
Right.
No one is about to become Hitler here in the United States.
Simon, don't just limit it to Nazi Germany. There's Mao Zedong, Idi Amin, Stalin. There's so many examples in our history. And those victims, it's an insult to the victims of all over the country, whether you're black, white, or purple. And
absolutely agree.
And that's, you know, Reggie, that's what you... I think why people really appreciated what you said. Tell us where you come from to be able to be such a realist and such a pragmatist.
Well, I first of all, agree with the whole Nazi Germany thing. It always bothers me. It shows, first of all, an ignorance about what actually happened in Nazi Germany and actually how Hitler actually came to power. That's A. But B, it also shows an incredible lack of faith in the United States system, in the system of checks and balances, you know, the houses of government, the fact that I don't know that a Hitler could even rise in this system, because there's just too many checks and balances against it. I agree with you. It is a real sort of slap in the face to victims of a Holocaust, to victims of World War II, when you say, oh, this guy's Hitler. No, this guy's not Hitler. Hitler killed 27 people before he became Chancellor of Germany. No one's been killed by Donald Trump yet.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is a whole different ballgame, and I think a little history lesson would be in order for everyone. And
exactly.
I think that helps you calm down.
And,
you know
it's funny. It's funny because you have so many young people, and you know, bless their hearts, the college students, high school students, people who have just got out of college. And when you talk about a history lesson, Reggie, that's exactly what we hope that people will understand, because there has been a lot of pain and suffering. And I'm not defending Donald Trump in any way for what he has said, but you have
to. Yeah, I'm not either. Let me say that. I'm not a Donald Trump apologist, but... But I am a person who reads. My father's hobby in life was, my father's a minister, a PhD. His hobby was studying what happened in Nazi Germany. He went there when he was a child. He met Lebensborn children who had grown up homeless. And if you know much about Nazi Germany, you'll know what Lebensborn children are. People can look that up. But anyway, it was fascination for him his whole life. And I spent my whole life talking about, you know, Hitler, how that happened, and could that happen again? What would it take for that to happen again?
Right.
And just a cursory knowledge of what happened in Nazi Germany will let you know. Donald Trump may be a loose cannon. Donald Trump may be a guy who says things. Donald Trump may have a
boorish
personality disorder.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, of course. I mean, narcissist.
I
will tell you the bottom line that everyone has to understand, because I lived it with my former boss, who unfortunately passed away. But it's an intense, intense insecurity complex. And that's what my boss, who was a brilliant, brilliant lawyer, had. There were things that went on in the past that caused him to have to battle everyone. Someone said something, he had to go after them. Something didn't go the way he wanted, he had to go. It was an intense, intense insecurity complex. We should feel bad for people like that who don't have control over it. I want to ask you something, Simon. It's really important here. We are hearing a lot from the gay, lesbian community, transgender, bisexual. Is it true that Donald Trump was the only Republican at a convention to say and recognize the rights of LGBTQ in his convention speech?
I believe he's the only nominee to have done that. I can't tell you he's the only person ever to have said it at a convention speech, but it's the only nominee to have done that. And, you know, I got a text message while I was on the air the other day from a self-described 35-year-old lesbian proud to have voted for Donald Trump. That happened 2 days ago. Reggie said it. People need to calm down. This is going to be okay. We're going to remember anything a president does, you can undo, you can undo it after 4 years.
We're about to watch that happen, actually.
Yeah, we are. Because on day one, what do you think Donald Trump's going to do? Day one, he's going to finish the inauguration, go into the Oval Office, probably be in there on his own as he takes it all in, sit down at the Resolute desk. There'll be an envelope there. On the cover of the envelope, it'll be marked 45, which will be a personal message from 44 to 45. They all do it. And as soon as he's finished doing that, he'll call his staff in. And I suspect there'll be 130, something like that, executive orders reversing 130 executive orders from Barack Obama.
And I'll tell you something.
That will be the first thing he does.
And we don't know what they will be. We don't know whether he's going to follow through with his promises or not, because there is, with these personalities, with these very insecure people, narcissistic, they do have a need to appease people who don't like them or people who say things against them. So don't count all of the minorities and all of these other people out just yet, because he may find a way to balance it, because he doesn't want to necessarily. Now he's got the power. Now he's the president. He doesn't have to say anything to get elected. So he may do some 180s on some of these issues. And the other thing that I think is important here to realize is that when he becomes president, it's going to involve a lot of people. This is not a dictatorship. And I think
you
understand that, Simon.
Absolutely. Of course it involves an awful lot of people. We're actually speculating on how many of them will be from Iowa. There's a whole bunch of people connected to his campaign from this state. And I think quite a few of them may well be around him. Very smart Midwesterners. Really, people do need to calm down. You know,
yeah.
I do not believe he's racist. I really don't.
Well, you know him.
I do know him. There's plenty of people of color around him, and they have nothing but good things to say about him.
By the way, his daughter-in-law and son-in-law are Jewish. Jared Kushner mm-hmm. will have a big part in, and I'm sure Jared Kushner's family were immigrants not too long ago, as a lot of Jews who came here. So, you have to know your facts. Unfortunately, sometimes I wish everyone in this country had a law degree, or at least had the experience of going to trial, because I go to trial every week, and I better have my evidence if I open my mouth, because if I open my mouth and I don't have my evidence, I'm going to get slammed. We need the evidence first. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers, and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Good morning.
McIntyre in the moon
with Terry Ray Elmer.
The Affordable Care Act has to be fixed, and everybody knows it, including the Democrats, because it's simply going to collapse in 2017. The question is, will the evangelical wing of the Republican Party allow a bill to come out without trying to do things like suspend abortion rights within the medical bill? And that's where people start loading onto these things, sidebar agendas, and it gets lost hopelessly in the thicket of politics.
McIntyre in the morning
with Terry Ray Elmer. Mornings at 5 on 790 KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yeah, we're lighting up the board here. I feel like Simon Conway because I know he gets a lot of calls on his show. We don't have a lot of time left to take calls, but I'll take one really quickly because he's been holding for a long time. Mark, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Hey, I'd like to ask about this comment on pre-existing condition and your legal opinion on it because, you know, you can't get car insurance. You can't get your insurance company to pay for a pre-existing condition on your car. And doesn't it really violate the whole notion of insurance, which is a risk against unforeseen occurrences? I know it sounds like a good thing to do, but I really think that's a major mistake and one of the big problems why costs have gone up so much, because if it's an existing condition, it's not insurance. It's basically a...
Okay, first of all, human beings aren't cars. Second of all, have you ever known anyone who couldn't be insured? And do you want to know what happens to their lives? So, yes, I understand your point, but the same thing is, at the same time, if you don't, if it's through no fault of your own, you have a pre-existing condition, it could be congenital, you could have been born with it, whatever the situation, you could have had a serious injury through no fault of your own, and that means that we just leave people out to the pasture and say, you can't get any treatment. It doesn't make sense. They're human beings, and they're not cars, and we have to take care of our own. Thanks for calling, Mark. I want to move on to Simon Conway and ask him just quickly before we go to Reggie Hamm. Simon, of course, is the WHO talk show host extraordinaire, has interviewed Donald Trump probably more times than anyone.
16 times.
Tell us about these protests. Are these rational? And you know, I'm a big First Amendment guy, believe me.
Me too.
But
I get to exercise my First Amendment every day.
I'm also a democracy guy. So, you know, First Amendment democracy, the tribe has spoken, so to speak. What's your view?
Well, I believe the original protests were not spontaneous. I really do believe they were organized. It's very interesting. If you watch movements come and go, and then they poll how they're doing, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement in the last 2 months of the election was silent, and the reason is they didn't poll well, and they pay people to go out on the streets. You can find the ads on Craigslist. So I don't believe the original protests were spontaneous. I believe they were paid to be out there, but there has been a copycat thing going on around the country now. But if you ask them what they're complaining about, they will not have an answer. They won't have an answer. And if we remember when Donald Trump said on the debate stage, yeah, he'd see whether or not he'd accept the results, which was another piece of marketing, by the way, the world came down on the top of his head, which is what he intended, because that's what he wanted the coverage to be about, and he succeeded. But no one's talking about that now, which is remarkable. This will go away, maybe when it gets a bit colder in most of the country. This will go away, and then, as Reggie said in his blog, people will calm down, and they'll see the world has not ended, and we will see what a Donald Trump presidency means. But I do want to say one thing about the pre-existing conditions, because your caller was right. It's not insurance, and nor should it be insurance. We are a very civilized nation. No one in this country should ever die because they cannot afford to live. That is ridiculous. It was ridiculous before Obamacare. It's still ridiculous now, and we cannot let it happen.
You don't sound like a Republican,
not
Carrie.
At all. Reggie Hamm.
Don't ever call me a Republican, ever.
Oh,
I'm an
Lord.
Independent conservative. Well, let's get into
conservative, Republican, potato, potato. Okay. Reggie Hamm, and for people that just tuned in, we have two phenomenal guests, Simon Conway, a dear friend, and Reggie Hamm, who I've now just met for the first time. If you want to take a look at his article, please put Reggie, R-E-G-I-E, Hamm, H-A-M-M, right, Reggie Hamm, and then Donald Trump. You're going to love this article. If you were to say something now, to pen something to the protesters that are out there now, what would it be?
Well, I actually did. I had a follow-up blog called The Hate Exchange. And I'm a Christ follower. I'm a believer. And I believe that love is a difficult thing. And It's easy to love puppies because they love you back. If you say you're for love, if you say you're for acceptance, if you say you're for tolerance, that what that means is actually you have to then tolerate the people that are unlovable to you. Because it's easy to love the people who love you. That's not love. That's just feel good. So for my part of it anyway, I would just say that I'm going to, for the protesters who are acting, I don't know really what they're acting like. I've never really seen anything like this. I'm giving them space. Something's bothering them. I want to give them some space. I want them to know I love you. I'm going to try to listen to you. But they're going to have to live their own words. If they say they want the country to be about tolerance and acceptance, then at some point they're going to have to come to terms with the fact that they may have to love and accept someone who is unlovable to them. That's the only time it's really love. Otherwise, it's just everybody high-fiving people they like.
Reggie, you should have been speaking to me like 2 days ago before I deleted half of my Facebook friends. Oh, man, Reggie. I mean,
really quickly, I'd love to chime in on what Simon just said about the pre-existing conditions because I've lived this. Let me also say to everybody really quickly, every Republican plan that was proposed in 2010 addressed pre-existing conditions. Nobody doesn't want that to happen. Everybody on both sides want people with pre-existing conditions to be able to be insured. It's a very big misconception that only Democrats wanted that and Republicans didn't. Everybody I talked to senators, I talked to congressmen on both sides. Everybody said, look, we got to fix this. Both ways.
That's true. Yes. Go ahead.
Everybody should keep that in mind that when Obamacare gets repealed and replaced, it's because it's just not working. And so I think that everybody should settle down. That's going to be addressed, but it's got to be addressed in a way that actually works with the market. There are some great ideas out there. I actually proposed some ideas to my senator, and he thought they were pretty good. I think you could maybe give tax credits to insurance companies who insure what my daughter was called an uninsurable. What if you gave tax credits to people who have maybe 5 to 10% of those people on their actuary tables, and they could offset it? There's ways to do it. There are ways to do it to make it more cost-effective, to drive the costs down, and everybody can still have great health care.
Right, Reggie.
That's the primary goal.
We don't have time to solve all the world problems today, but you make a good point that they can be solved when you put your heads together. You know, Trump has also said that he's concerned about the Obamacare provision where kids living with their parents, they should maintain the insurance. There are a lot of smart things. Trump has not indicated so far, and he may in the future, but so far he has not indicated that he's throwing people out in the cold. And again, when you talk about your follow-up blog that you did about the protesters, it makes a whole lot of sense. And, you know, I'm not that lovey-feely guy that you are, but I appreciate that. I'm the lawyer, the intellectual, the rational person. And not to say that lovey-feely people aren't that person, but I need to know the facts. And you're absolutely right.
Let me weigh in one final time on the protesters, because one of the reasons we might be seeing this, and I'm seriously not joking, we have raised the participation trophy generation, and they don't know what it's like to lose. Shouldn't Hillary Clinton be co-president or something? I mean, half of us wanted her. I really think that might be part of it. That could be part of it, that they don't understand losing. They lost.
Reggie?
Can I jump in really quickly on that, too?
I think the other problem is we have put our faith in government. I think I've got a follow-up blog coming up next week where I believe that everyone has so put their faith in government. It's one of the reasons I'm a small government guy. When everything in your life, your child's health care, the food that you have, the money that you have, the job that you have, everything in your life gets wrapped up in who becomes president of the United States, then that government has too much power over you.
There you go. We need to take responsibility for ourselves. Stop with the excuses. I say this to everyone in my life. I don't want to hear excuses. I just want to see it get done. Please, don't give me excuses. Don't blame others. Take responsibility. And I'm not a political guy. I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. I'm not NDP, liberal, conservative, whatever. I just want people to take care of themselves, take responsibility, stand up, and be a human being. Don't make excuses. You can do it. I want to thank...
You're a conservative.
I want to thank Simon Conway. You guys have to stop it. We got the news coming up in a minute. Simon Conway from WHO Radio and Reggie Hamm. What a pleasure to have you on. I wish you can be on our show every week. Go to Reggie's blog. What is it, Reggie? How do we get to Reggie's blog?
Well, it would be basically you could probably get it through Twitter, and that's at Reggie Hamm, just R-E-G-I-E-H-A-M-M. It's posted all over Twitter.
All right.
And I would like to commend Simon on his wonderful Iowa.
Gotta go.
I think it's
yeah, we gotta go.